This conference is being recorded.
Hello and welcome to the Heart Start to Your Week call on this Monday, July 14th, 2008. A Heart Start call in celebration of the potential of human dignity. And the wonderful example we have in that in Nelson Mandela, who is celebrating his 90th birthday this Thursday. So I welcome everyone to the call, both those live who are old-timers, those live who are new, and those listening to this as an archived recording. My name is Sheva, and I'm the CEO of a company called Fiera, which is a word that we created to describe what it is to feel great. And feeling great is far more than getting life to go the way you think you want it. Truly feeling great inside has something to do with manifesting one's greatness outside. And so Nelson Mandela was such a key example of what's possible when people tap and access the power of their hearts, as we teach it in our classes, that our tools and our classes are based on research from an institute in Northern California called HeartMath, which discovered that positive emotions, and we're not just saying, again, it's not about things going your way or not, it's internal positive feeling states, which I'm experiencing now in abundance because my cat is looking up at me so lovingly. Internal positive feeling states, which don't necessarily have to occur in response to the environment, but can be self-generated. That's great news. We don't have to be the victims of our feelings. We can generate that intelligence from within us. And those positive feeling states then create a uniquely ordered pattern in the heart's rhythm. And that ordered pattern in the heart's rhythm changes everything about the way our body works. From our eyebrows to our nose to our elbows to our toes. But more significantly, of course, to our nervous systems, our hormones, which are influential in our aging process. Of course, the way our brain works and how we perceive and respond to life. How our immune system works and our ability to maintain our health. So this internal order in the heart generated from the ability to master emotions so that we don't just react to life, but we respond from the inside out with a certain dominion in our emotions, allows us greater dominion in our health, greater effectiveness in our world, at our jobs, in our relationships, and that is Sierra. It seems almost too good to be true, which is how I feel when I wake up every morning. And it will encourage some of you to know that I didn't always feel that way. As a matter of fact, for most of my life, I felt quite the opposite. I just felt bombarded and overwhelmed by life stressors for most of my life. And then as I came upon HeartMath after studying many different medicines and healing modalities and attending pre-med, I was heartened to discover that I could change this chronic pattern of stress and discontent in myself. And even more heartened to uncover, as I did that, that life responded to that internal change in me, that the outer reflected the inner, and that as they speak about in some New Age circles, you create your own reality. That didn't just have to be a philosophical concept, or worse, a truth that I was victimized by because I was creating such an awful one. That in fact it became a great joy and portal of freedom. All from a simple tool to manage my internal stress in the moment. And so these Heart Start calls are what one of our students calls an oasis of positivity, a gift back to the community where people can stick their toe in the water and find out a little bit about the HeartMath research, the tools and the technology that we teach based on the HeartMath research here at Fiera, and how you can find out more. And each call we focus in on a specific topic, and today I was so moved this last week watching a movie called The Color of Freedom. Has anyone on the call seen it? Maybe not. I was so completely moved by this film. Well, it's very subtly done, I think very elegantly done, but so it's not going to clobber you with this message over the head or anything. But what you observe over time as it tracks Nelson Mandela's time in prison is a transformation that his simple presence had on those around him, even the guards that were trained through years of enculturation to mistrust him. Because Nelson Mandela's inner heart integrity to the core principles and values that he was aligned behind is exemplar of the potential of the heart to me. In that, you know, we see in so much activism in our world that people end up in a belief structure that the ends justify the means, doing the very atrocities that they were fighting against. Think about Robespierre during the French Revolution, right? In reaction to the tyranny of old hierarchy, he became a tyrant. And yet, in the heart, the ends and the means are one, because we're all connected. And so here is Nelson Mandela not fighting for a black-dominant South Africa, not fighting against whites. In his words, no human is inhumane. We're not fighting against human beings. We're fighting against an inhumane system. And so in not resisting any human being and having an open heart to all human beings, even those that were oppressing him, to the degree that he would listen with such depth and care to even his prison guards and their issues with their children, encouraging them to send their children to university because that was their hope, their future. Caring about them in a way that they didn't care about him as a human being. He role modeled a possibility in themselves they had yet to encounter. And in awakening them to their deeper heart, he became their teacher, and they shifted to a place of reverence and awe and gratitude where there had been disdain and dehumanization. So that slowly over time, and I've read this in various articles as well, they went from treating Nelson Mandela in prison like a dog, if you will, inhumanely, like cruel, like someone would cruelly treat a dog, to being servants to him, from being the authority that perceived itself as better than him, to being the disciple, the student, the servant, the grateful servant, right? So in the beginning, they're tossing food into his cell. In the end, they're serving him like waiters at a fine restaurant, or like I've seen some of my Buddhist friends who have the opportunity to be in service to their lamas and their teachers, delivering the food with such gratitude at the privilege of getting to be in the presence of this person. That was the attitude that the prison guards ended up with Nelson Mandela. Gratitude at getting to be in the presence of this person. And his presence his dignity, his integrity to his core principles and values, which is something that we can take either an individual or a corporation from having be a conceptual alignment to an actual one all the way to the physiological functioning in the body. So plenty of organizations and corporations have a list of company values and a plaque on the wall, right? Yet how does that translate into behavior and feeling in the organization's employees? Well, that's a heart shift. That's the newfound order in the heart's rhythm. It's got to happen physically, not just mentally. And for that to occur, it has to happen at the emotional level. And so Nelson Mandela had so thoroughly embodied his principles that his physiological order, when he had no other resources, he was in prison, nothing but the shirt on his back and the shoes on his feet and the pants he wore, no other resources, just the pulse and presence of his ordered integral heart caused a transformation of a grand scale, not only in those directly around him, but I would say on a global level. And this is the opportunity for each one of us in our own way, and it doesn't have to present itself as publicly as Nelson Mandela's transformations did, but in our own lives, it can present itself in our relationships with our spouses. It can present itself in our health, in our simple daily moment-to-moment appreciation of our cup of coffee or our pet. We can be in harmony and alignment with ourselves and with our world, and as such become a greater source of order and well-being for those around us. And the wonderful thing is that this doesn't have to just be the domain of the saints any longer who stumble into it by accident or by years of harsh discipline. This is accessible to all of us through the research tools and techniques that HeartMath has developed, so that this weekend, even third graders are going to learn how to do this. It's a very simple process. Anyone can do it. And so it's my great joy to get to be an emissary of that and to have myself found this step-by-step process, which I needed because this internal and external order did not come naturally to me at all. And so how fortunate we are that we live in a time when research has made it possible for all of us to tap into the power of that dignity without having to go through some of the hardship that people like Nelson Mandela did to actualize and attain that. And that's kind of a brief overview of today's call. I want to open up the line for anyone who has any questions or any stories of your own to share. And just make sure if you muted yourself, if you pressed *6 to mute out on the line, that you press *6 again to unmute so we can hear you. If no one has any immediate questions or things they want to share, what I'm going to suggest is this. Take a moment. Obviously, Nelson Mandela is one of my heroes. We like for these calls to have some take-home value for you, something that you can walk away with and start to apply in your life right away. Take a moment and just for yourself, make a list of people that inspire you. People that could be your mentors. For me, you know, and they don't have to be famous people either. Certainly my mother, who we interviewed a couple weeks ago, is one of them. Some of my mentors who are not so famous. But then others, too, who are more in the public eye, like Nelson Mandela, like Oprah, like Martin Luther King, like Gandhi, Mother Teresa, Helen Keller, who are the people that really inspire you to what's possible for you? And how are you going to bridge the gap between that level of dignity or impact or clarity or radiance or humanitarianism or whatever it is, success even for some? How are you going to bridge the gap between that in them being something outside you that inspires you to that in you being inspired? The heart can help you do that. And one of the things we do in our classes is help people drill down, and you can do this now. What core values? What qualities of care or qualities of achievement do your heroes embody? And list those next to the people that you've written down. And just notice how you feel as you start to pay attention to those qualities. Do you feel more fiera, more balance, more peace, more ease, more inspiration and passion, or more stress when you pay attention to those qualities? More fiera or more stress? Those qualities are what we're talking about when we say positive feeling states create order in the heart rhythm. And so people who embody qualities like that in higher ratios of the time, which is what we teach in our courses, how to stabilize there, become more effective people, accomplish more, contribute more, not because they're working harder, but because they're working harder. When the heart has that ordered pattern, it affects the brain in such a way that the functions of the brain are refined. They work better. You perceive things more accurately, more clearly. Your responses are more accurate, more effective. And then you get on this continuous up spiral of more benefit to yourself, more benefit to others, more benefit to your health, more contribution to the world. And so you could practice this right now. Just take a moment and look at some of the qualities that you've observed in the people that are your heroes. Maybe we could have someone share those. Would anyone like to unmute and share some of the qualities? Give us some inspiration here. Becky Fisher, why don't you hop on?
Becky Fisher. Hello?
Yes, I hear you.
Okay. All of the people that you mentioned were also my heroes, along with Anne Frank and Viktor Frankl and Albert Einstein. And all those people that Albert Einstein is kind of an exception because he was just so intensely spiritual and when I researched him, it confirmed my hunch that he just knew these incredible things and then found a way to prove them. And he's just, I've got tons of, collected lots and lots of quotes from just amazing things that he said. And one of one of my favorite quotes from him is that one of the most important decisions that, and I'm paraphrasing, I'm sure, that a person will ever make is whether or not the universe is friendly. And that kind of goes along with all these people never gave up hope and steadfast belief that people are good, and despite any behaviors or actions otherwise, they kept believing and seeing the best in people, and until they got it, instead of reacting to the worst in people to reinforce it.
And so, of course, that's in essence what the heart allows everyone to tap into, is their personal greatness. Whereas Anne Frank said, I still believe people are really good at heart.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I've come to see in my teaching that it's almost like a binary code. When people feel their survival is at stake or they're feeling threatened, and that doesn't necessarily have to be the threat of the physical body.
Mm-hmm.
Can be a threat to the ego. But when they feel threatened, what comes out is what I call affectionately survival mode, old survival software. That stress that scrambles the heart's rhythm and causes any of us and all of us to behave in ways that are not commensurate with who our real self is. And it causes wars, and it causes conflict, and it causes all of us to behave in that way that we wish we hadn't afterwards. Whether it's eating too much cake or saying something to a friend you wish you hadn't. And all of that can be unwound through this order that comes to the heart rhythm in this inner mastery that we teach through heart math.
Mm-hmm.
And so one way to begin to tap into that is to identify, as Becky has here, what are some of the core principles or values that your mentors and heroes embody. So for you, Becky, that ability to remain steadfast in the confidence of the inherent goodness of the universe and human beings, that's for you, right? That may not resonate with someone else, but for mm-hmm. you, that's what you see in these people, and you can't see it unless you could be it yourself. So then what I'd have you do is focus your attention on the area around your heart and breathe reference point feelings in yourself of when you felt you've been able to have a penetrating seeing that sees beyond someone's immediate behavior into who they really are. Have you got a reference point for yourself of that?
Oh, yes. I have an incredible spontaneous story of it. I don't know if there's time, but it's pretty short.
Uh-huh. Go for it.
It wasn't even a thinking reaction. It was driving through a parking lot in my 30s, I think, and a man in a car just pulled right in front of me, and there was just almost, I slammed on the brakes. I was going through the main aisle, and he just came darting out, and I mean, it was clearly his fault, and I slammed on the brakes and just stopped within a hair of him, and I mean, you know, how the tingles and the adrenaline rush, and it just scared me to death, and I mean, I certainly didn't, you know, point my finger, make gestures, yell, or curse, or anything. I was just, like, scared to death and grateful that I could stop. But the car was filled with a woman and lots of kids who were not, very young kids, who were not, in, any of them in seat belts or car seats or restraints or anything. And this man was so full of rage that he just bolted out of the car and came for me. And I just instinctively knew that he intended to physically harm me. And he ran for me. And I just sat there knowing that that this man was going to harm me, and it was like time slowed down so much that I knew all these things in such a short time. I knew that he was physically and lots of other ways abusive to this woman, to all of these children, and that he was so full of rage. And I felt such compassion for what must he, his life have been like to be so full of rage that something so small would make him want to physically harm a total stranger. And I just sat there and our eyes locked. And in what was just fractions of a second, it seemed like hours, our eyes locked. And in the time it took him to go from his car to my car and get to me, he totally, totally changed, because there was nothing in me but total love and compassion and absolutely no fear. And he, by the time he got to my car, he had physically completely changed, and he just looked at me. He looked confused. He looked like he completely forgot what he came for. And he looked baffled and turned around and walked back to his car and got in and calmly drove away.
Wow, and that's such a beautiful story.
Incredible. I mean,
it's not uncommon for the heart of compassion to overtake us in critical and crisis moments.
What
we need, Becky, is a way to stabilize in that, in the day-to-day grind of living. It's interesting. It's not crisis moments like that that are causing the stress that's killing people. It's the day-to-day emails that wear on you and voicemails and all of that kind of stuff, not those immediate crisis moments like earthquakes or violent interfaces with another human being, but the day-to-day grind of stress. And the amazing thing is that it's possible. It's like people are dying death by a thousand paper cuts. Because when something gets our full attention like that, boom, as you described, the heart is right there. And the heart is right here, even in the mundane. And the trick is, and what we teach people to do, is to access that level of love and compassion that many more of your moments, the higher ratio of your life, is lived in the vibrancy and magic of exactly what Becky just described, so that you don't have to live a mundane death by a thousand paper cuts. And if anybody's interested in learning more about that, we do have a beginner webinar that starts on August. Let's see, it's the first Tuesday in August. I'll pull that up and see. And we also have an in-person workshop happening in Los Angeles, an all-day workshop on August 23rd. So or it might be the 24th. I'll have to double-check that. But that weekend, that third weekend, fourth weekend it is in August. And the beginner webinar begins on Tuesday, August 5th. So if anyone's interested in that or finding out more about the technology we use that allows you to see the transformation in your heart that Becky just described in this man, in the rhythm in your heart in real time, or our coaching and all of that, you can contact me directly at 310-581-1507. You can also email me, Sheva, S like Sam, H-E-V like Victory A, Sheva@Fiera.com. Becky, that story is so beautiful. Thank you for bringing it. I wish I had more time at the moment to hang out with you longer, but I have to hop on and teach a class. So I thank all of you for joining us, and let's just end where we started, in the heart. Breathing in through the heart and out through the heart, tapping into one of those qualities that your heroes embody, and embodying that yourself by breathing it in through your heart and out into your evening and into the world. I hope this little call brought all of you a little more Sierra to your day and your life, and I look forward to reconnecting with you. Not next week. Next week is the one day of the year we won't be having a Heart Start call. It will be in silence. But the following week. Good night, everyone.
Thank you. Good night.
Thank you.